Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. Today's show is a little different. So this is a snippet, it's longer than that, but from the Relay podcast that we put out last week. So it was our weekly group chat episode that we record on Mondays and put out on Tuesdays. And in that, I talk about my decision to hop back into marathon training, and not only that, but to really go above and beyond in sharing my marathon journey. And it was something that I wasn't really planning on talking about during that episode, but I'm glad I did, and I wanted to share it here on the Rambling Runner podcast as well. For anyone who's been following me on Instagram, you may have noticed a huge uptick in me providing running content over there, my own running journey, and this ties right into that. But before we get into that conversation, I do want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor. That's right, ASICS. I've run the last 3 days and the ASICS Nova Blast Trail 4. I have had this shoe for a while, but I really like it. I think now it's called the trail version, but it's kind of like a light trail shoe, but I use these on the roads all the time. So the outsole is very simple. First of all, the top of the shoe is the same. So the upper is the same, the midsole is the same. The outsole is the same design, just like all the ASICS trail shoes. It's the same design as the normal shoe, so the normal Nova Blast. It's just a little thicker. So I like the extra durability. I like the little extra grip. In addition, with Nova Blast, the thing that's made this shoe so spectacular in the past has been the trampoline effect, especially in the midfoot, forefoot. And by having extra depth on the lugs, it accentuates the trampoline effect. And this is why I love this shoe so much. So I love the Nova Blast 4. I love the Nova Blast 4 Trail more, and I love this shoe. And I'll say this, the Nova Blast, whether it's the trail version or the normal version, the upper is the best upper in the business. The Nova Blast 4 upper is the best one. So I'm a huge fan. Go to ASICS.com today to check out all of their offerings, whether it's Nova Blast or any other shoes, and they have a great sales department as well. So let's get into this episode now.
Wait, can we talk about the shot heard around the world? Matt Chittum jumping on Instagram and being like, I am in marathon mode. Let's go.
Yes. What are you running, Matt?
This is not what I expected to be talking about. We haven't talked. Can you see Vakili set the Masters marathon record? We're talking about Matt Chittum's marathon build.
You know what?
What's going on?
The guy said he wasn't that impressed with his own run. Let's get back to you. He said, I want to hear about the Chittum shot.
Matt, it feels good to talk about your own life. You know, you ask people questions all day, every day, same as I. It feels good to share your stuff too. So share your stuff.
I want to go to Bekele for 1 second. They interviewed him. They were like, what'd you think? And he's like, oh, I was a little disappointed. I thought I could have done better. And they're like, do you think at 41 years old, you could win a race like this? He's like, realistically, no, probably not. So like, it was like very interesting.
He finished second. Where's the gray area he's looking for?
Yeah. Apparently he could have had a slightly better build up or like a little more fitness, but he's like, I'm not beating that guy. Like, nope, I've been there. So Matt, just so you know, it's okay. Even the best of all time, they set realistic expectations for themselves. Talk us through your thought process when you're like, it's a little like, here we go. I'm going to write an essay and put it out for the world. I'm going to put a reel out that says, I'm back on the horse.
Back on the horse, baby. Yeah. Well, I had a really crappy winter. It's like one of the worst winters of my life.
Sorry.
Personally, family-wise, stuff like that. So it was really not an enjoyable experience. I also got sick, which I think was related to it. I was sick for like 6 weeks. Went on like antibiotics twice. And whole gang of stuff. But what preceded that was like, I was going to run a 50K and my training sucked. I knew I wasn't going to be able to complete it. So I just like bailed on it. So, and then I just, again, people listen to my running experience. I'm not like, I haven't been a very good runner my whole life. So like, I've had like some highs and lows, but all kind of stayed within like a pretty narrow band of like not very successful. So ultimately, I just still have a lot of regrets about certain races and I really want to get back into it and I'm feeling healthy. So I'm like, you know what? Now's the time and I have enough time to get ready. So I'm going to do a fall marathon. I'm not sure which one, maybe something local. So I'm not going to travel for it. So I
Well, doesn't it depend on what the signing bonus you receive is? Like, you got to shop around.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I can't announce it today.
Yeah.
Right? Laura knows the deal.
Laura will give you some pointers.
Yeah. You have to give hints. You know, I'm still negotiating with the elite coordinators.
All he can say is he's going to do a fall, Peter. That's all he can say.
That's the rule.
There's a gentleman with a bald head who keeps contacting me from the Northeast about getting a really big signing bonus.
Sam's in your DMs.
I'm either going to be running Ocean State or Bay State. So Bay State's one in Massachusetts and Lowell, Mass, which is like an incredibly fast marathon. They don't have any elites that run, but they like, ooh, it's a big Boston feeder race.
When
Boston
is it? Marathon.
Cool.
So they're both in October. Ocean State, I've run that before. It's hilly. I think it's like 1,100 feet of elevation gain. So it's kind of like the LA Marathon in terms of like hilliness.
No, run the fast one, Matt.
Well, I kind of like the Ocean State because I have run it before and it's close to my house. Which I like running on the course I'm going to train on the course that I run on. The other one's like so fast, the winner will run like 2:25 or something, right? Which is very good, but obviously not like an elite runner, right? Mm-hmm. From a men's perspective,
right?
But like, there's going to be like 300 people who break 3 hours. Like,
really?
It's an incredibly dense field.
Why don't I know about this race? I'm like looking it up.
It's just
should
like
I
a local, like it's a local Boston qualifier, kind of like how like Eugene is for a lot of people out west. Mm-hmm. Like how CIM is for people who want to get certain times. Like, that's how Bay State is in New
England. October 20th. Yeah.
Probably one of those two, I'm guessing, but we'll see.
Matt, when we were at the Olympic trials, you were abstaining from alcohol and you were working on getting healthier in that regard. Are you still abstaining?
I am not, but my relationship with alcohol was pretty simple. Like, I never got drunk, but I was basically drinking like every day. So like, I was kind of like, every morning I have like one or two cups of coffee. Every night I have like one or two glasses of wine. It just became a habit. Yeah. So like, I didn't really talk about this a lot on the podcast or anything, but I was kind of like, all right, well, I was kind of worried. Like, I've been doing this for like a decade. Like, is this gone beyond habit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's find out. So it wasn't anything beyond that. So it was just like what I just gotten used to, and that was fine. So I really didn't drink for like 2 months, which was great. But like, it wasn't hard. There wasn't any like withdrawal symptoms. It really didn't matter either way. So I'm not abstaining anymore. I don't have the same like, hey, every night I do this. But so I think, you know, it's at this point, it is back in my life, but it's very like, casual.
Did you feel better though? I'm just thinking like in regards to like now you want to ramp up and train for a marathon.
It didn't have any effect.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good to know though. That's good that you know that.
It gave me peace of mind because I was worried.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, I love that. I mean, it would be hard for me to not drink any alcohol for 2 months. That would be a challenge.
Yeah. So that's what I was worried.
Like a challenge you want to take on?
Well, I was like, that's the thing. If it's a challenge, what does that say about me? Like, where am I if it is a challenge? So I was kind of worried, like, all right, am I going to be all right? And like, I was fine. So I'm happy about that. But I am shifting things a little bit. So for me, an issue is I've been always kind of like a night owl, as Peter knows. And so like, I'm changing things up. I'm going to bed way earlier, but I'm also getting up earlier. So so an effort to like make sure that I'm maximizing my day, I'm now waking up at 4:15 so I can get my run in before my kids.
When you said earlier, I was like, okay, like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
He's like 4:15, I'm up out the door. We're like, what?
Bam.
Peter is very concerned about your sleep, Matt.
So
I like how you said, like, there was a little innuendo there. You're like, I stay up late. You know, Peter knows.
What does Peter know?
Corrupted.
Like, Peter.
Corrupted.
Too much.
Oh, come on.
So like, no, so in my 20s, that's what I did. I always woke up super early and I got my run in before I went to work. And with kids, it's hard because like my wife's a teacher, so she's out the door by 7:15. So like when she gets up, she's getting ready for school, just like my kids are. But like, you know, she's a teacher. She has to like, she's getting all of her stuff ready, all that stuff. So like I take care of the kids in the morning. So like I need to be ready to go at 6 o'clock to assist them with all their stuff. So like, it's like I need to get back by 6, which made running in the morning pretty difficult. Especially as the miles ramp up. So, but at this point, so I'm heading out the door at 4:15, inspired by one of my runners that I coach who does the same thing, who's a beast. I think he's going to run 2:45 at the National Marathon in a week. So, and he's a master's runner too, and he's the man. So I was like, all right, Kevin can do it. I used to do this. Why can't I do it? So he inspired me. So I'm out the door by 4:45, starting. You know, so I'm back by 6.
When are you going to bed, though?
Between 9 and 10.
11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Sit, Matt, that's not enough hours. 6.5 is not enough.
That's great for me.
Oh, my gosh. So my thing with that is like, well, A, that is really early with like the bathroom situation. Like that's hard to run that early, I feel like. But also, I feel like if I can do get up that early like twice a week, but if I go more than that, getting up that early, my body is like, hold on, sister. Like, this is too much. So you're doing that like 5 days a week?
I'm going to do it 7, actually. I want to get the habit down. Because like, if I only do twice a week, I'm not going to be able to do it. I need to do it. So like, today's a great example. Today was my off day, but I woke up that time anyway and went and lifted so that I was, so I can ingrain the habit.
Full. I love Swole Mountain. It's going to be awesome.
Atomic habits. So if you're running at 4:15, or you're getting up at 4:15.
I'm getting up at 4:15 so to run at 4:45.
And in that 30 minutes, you have coffee and get your bathroom in and you're good to be out the door.
Yes, but also, fun fact, here in Coventry, Rhode Island, they put, in once baseball starts, they put porta potties at every baseball field.
Mm. Okay, so you have a plan.
Yes.
So okay. There you go. Also, this is the other tidbit. On my run, right on the bike path, is a Planet Fitness. So I also registered for Planet Fitness, which also opens up at 5.
We'll just pop
so that if I need to, a little detour into the Planet Fitness and a quick right back out.
Look at you. You planned all of this out. I'm like, I'm very excited.
I'm really proud of you. I'm getting feedback from Glenn in the other room. He says, Matt has adult responsibilities. Leave him alone.
He has a real life. He needs to fit things in. I love this.
I am so happy for you. I hope that it sticks. How can we support you to make it stick?
I will not get up at 4:15.
Shame me whenever possible. I'm sorry, what was that, Laura?
I won't get up at 4:15 with you. Like, I won't do one of those where, like, we're doing it in spirit together. I won't be doing that.
That's 2:15 your time?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nope. No, your girl will be asleep. But I will be cheering you on. And yeah, do check-ins. And my question for you is, do you have a coach? Are you coaching yourself? How are you?
I do have a coach.
Okay.
So I've been lucky enough. I've worked with some really fun and great coaches. So Caitlin Gray Goodman was my coach for a while.
Yeah.
She lived in Rhode Island. So she was in Providence. It was really fun. Like every month she would meet with all of her athletes at like the Starbucks near Brown University. So like every 20 minutes, it was like someone had like their appointment. Smart. So she would just like post up for like 3 hours. Wow. We'd all just kind of come through. That was fun. And then James McCurdy was my coach for a while. And James is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So like, I also am a coach for McCurdy Train. So after a while, I was like, all right, this is a little too, it's a little too like embedded in my life. Like, so I'm like, all right, like, I think it's, and he agreed. It was like, all right, it's probably time for a change. So now my coach, and has been my coach now for 3 years or almost 3 years now, is David Roach from Somewhere Called Play.
I know David. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's fun. So,
but really, it goes out to Peter, and who's been giving him a hard time for over a year. Like, let's get fit.
Peter wants me to become some sort of hybrid of Mario Fraioli and Nick Bear, evidently. A masters runner who can smash the mile and 800-pound deadlifts is what Peter wants most out of me.
I want Matt to, I want Matt to be a hybrid athlete. I think Matt has, like, untapped swole potential to be able to really be chucking around dumbbells. So I don't really know what the core goal of those guys is. Like, if you're a BPN athlete, it seems as much to be about having enormous biceps as it does to be run fast. But hey, like, it all fits under, you know, living a fun life. So
you guys remember when Ryan Hall did that? Well, he did a lot of things, but when he did his like deadlift 500 and then go out and run a 5-minute mile.
But this is wonderful. This is like, I fucking love it because he set a goal to lift 500 pounds and break the 5-minute mile and he failed. Yeah. He's just like, I couldn't quite do it. But the video of him trying
something though, like he still ran really fast. Didn't he
ran really close. No, he came really close. But what's beautiful about it is like, he actually set a goal and he actually tried to do it and he documented himself. And so it's helped me because you see a lot of these influencers, they move the puck around and they're like, look, I'm lifting and I'm going and here we are. And you're like, you didn't set a goal. Like that was just a highlight reel of like you flexing for the camera. So I just love how Ryan, like, true to form, is like, here's a really big challenge. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Other people are like, I'm going to throw up a bunch of weight and run a mile sometime. And you're like, get out of
I'm
here.
I'm going to do
get
both.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and I'm really, and I'm going to start documenting it too. So this is the other thing, inspired by our friends Tommy and those guys. I'm going to start documenting it. What put me over the edge on that? Because I've been so embarrassed of my own athletic shortcomings for a long time that I've always hid. Like, if anyone's looking at my Instagram over the last year and a half, I have almost not talked about my running at all, like zero. And okay. I'm just so embarrassed by it. So, but what kind of pushed me over the edge again. This is not a comparison to me at all, but I did think it was interesting. Was like. Look, it was like this meme. It was like, not me. It was a picture of, it was Jeff Bezos. And he was like, when he started Amazon.com, and it's like, him just had this like wonky office and literally had spray painted Amazon.com, like on the wall, like in blue paint. And like, wasn't well done. It was like dripping. It's like, this is a piece of crap. Right. And it was like, wouldn't it be cool if he had like documented the journey from that point, as opposed to not later when he was really successful. Yeah. Right. Like I would like, how great would have been to look back and see, like, if Tommy had documented his journey, like, starting 2 years before he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Right. Like, someone's like, all right, like, again, who knows where I'm going to end up? It might be nowhere. But, like, I want to start documenting now, because what if it turns out really cool? It'd be nice to look back. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's cool, Matt. And it's, I feel like it's really cool when you get kind of the glimpse into, like, people's journeys of, like, where they started and kind of, like, the process that it was to like where they are now. Like, I think that's really cool to like be able to share that. Because I always find that's like my favorite kind of content. So
it makes me sad that you are embarrassed, because you don't need to be. I feel like we have this world of people documenting all this glamorous workouts and races and doing all these marathons. And it's like, that's not necessarily real life. We're all going through hard stuff, you know, here and there. And I mean, nobody knows how hard your year really was, except for some of your really close friends. And like, I think that you're showing people like real life, you know, so hugs.
I appreciate you saying that. So thank you for saying that, Lindsay. I think there are some races that like still like have left scars on me. Mm-hmm. And we've all been there. So I'm not going to act like I'm like some like unique snowflake here. And by snowflake, I mean like in the unique sense of the word, not like the super sensitive sense of the word, which I also am one of those. But I will say that. I will say like the Eugene Marathon was like a complete disaster. Like I walked off the course after like 2 miles, essentially, right? My first 50K, disaster. I walked like the last like 3 hours, right? Stuff like that. You're like, oh my God. Like, I documented this whole thing and it sucked, right? So you're like, oh, I don't want to do that ever again. And after a while, like, I can just kind of keep living in that world. But like in the end, like I feel just as much shame for how I handled that situation as opposed to the situation itself. So like, I can't change the race, but I can change how I handle it. So I think that's going to be the part that I'm hopefully going to change.
It forward. Does set like an expectation of engagement on your part, like sustained engagement. I don't know if anyone recalls, Lindsay, 4 years ago, there was the Breaking 40, a series that Matt put together where he was going to race a 10K as he was turning 40. And I remember messaging you, Matt, and being like, I'm actually invested in this progress, because unlike a lot of like sports stories where you're like, there's this like fine margin, you're like, who will win of this? I'm like, when you would post a new update of Breaking 40, I was like, it could go up, it could go down. There could have been a breakthrough or a setback. Like it was, the amplitude was wide and it was exciting. You were doing diets, sports psych. You were working with James at the time around like your training. It's a lot all at once. And I was like, man, this would be tough to sustain. And ultimately you were like, okay, I need to like taper off a little bit. So hopefully more sustainable.
Yeah, I hurt my knee. And it was like, oh, well. Yeah. And then actually, once I came back from that, that's when I started working with David. But I will say, I have to go pick up my son at school. So.
That was not the transition. I was looking for like a heartfelt.
I'm documenting. I'm documenting my life, Peter. I'm documenting.
This is part of it.
It's real life. I have adult responsibilities. Glenn Hine is here. He's telling me, Matt, you have adult responsibilities. It's 2:55. You got to go get your son. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rambling Runner Podcast. Go check out ASICS, our presenting sponsor, at ASICS.com today. Also, are you in the market for a coach? I don't know if you know this. I am a coach. So I've been working with amateur runners for over 5 years now as part of McCurdy Trained, the biggest run coaching service in America. And I love doing it. It really is one of the highlights of my day. I love working with amateur athletes who are working to get better and balancing running with a crazy schedule or looking to get the most out of their running. They feel like you have potential, but you're just not sure what to do. That's exactly where I can step in. Also for people who maybe need just someone to like be accountable to. That's a big one. That's one for me. That's why I like having a running coach, someone I can be accountable to. Also, a lot of athletes that I work with are kind of maybe on the type A end of the spectrum, and it's great for them to have a counterbalance. And I think that that's something that I can provide for them as someone who can allow them to just relax, enjoy their running, and not obsess over it. So if that is something that you're interested in, you can always email me at ramblingrunnerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can always shoot me a message on Instagram, rambling_runner. Thank you so much for listening, and happy running.